You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, a podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I'm here, as always, with my book besties, Anna and Christina.
Hi.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome.
This is extra exciting because me and Kim are actually physically in the same location.
We're together recording.
On the same couch.
It's very exciting.
It is so exciting.
I'm so jealous.
I know. Yeah, and we will have you here with us one day. Together, we'll all be in the same place. Which is extra funny because in my course of this vacation here in Texas, I'm, as we know, usually in New York. And in the course of my time here, I've seen Anna separately and Kim separately.
Yes.
And it's been so amazing and wonderful to hug you both and be in both your presences.
I know. And take so many book pics.
So many.
Oh, we have taken so many fun pictures.
Poor
husbands.
I know.
Mostly poor Zach.
Yeah, poor Zach. Ben slept in.
We were at a wedding in Wimberley, Texas, and my sweet husband got up early. I'm like, excuse me, sweetie, could you meet me and Anna on the porch? I know you're having your coffee, but wouldn't you want to have that coffee on the porch taking a picture of me and Anna with our books?
Wouldn't that be fun, sweetheart? And he was probably like,
it was
no.
So and cute. I'm like sitting down and Christine be like, oh, actually, can you go get us a different cup? Like, oh, actually, could you please, oh, get the blanket. He was like, yes,
but not that blanket.
Yes, dear.
I mean, truly, he took probably like 200 photos last night of us at dinner because we had like wine flights at dinner. So we took like.
Sorry, which pause? We're at dinner for Kim's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Kim.
Birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. It's Kim's birthday.
Thank you. So nice. I got oh my God, Kim, you looked so pretty last night in that photo you sent.
Thanks. Thanks.
Also, I know you guys can't see us, but Kim is wearing her birthday present from me, which is a sweatshirt from the Jess and Nat Co. Etsy shop that is so soft and so beautiful.
So wonderful.
And it says in big block font letters across it, Westfall.
For my sweet baby angel boy, Kim. And Anna got me the most amazing Crescent City Light It Up mug.
Yes.
And I got very emotional at the table. Yeah. Ladies next to me were like, what is happening? Why is she like crying over a sweatshirt and a coffee mug? And I was like, you don't understand.
You wish you understood,
but it was a very emotional, sweet moment.
Yeah.
But I love my gifts and I've worn it all day and talked about it. And I think Josh thinks, my husband thinks it's like an actual person that I could have an affair with. No, just emotionally. In my heart. Emotionally in my heart, but tomorrow the 7th is my actual B-day.
I was going to say, what are you doing for your actual birthday tomorrow?
So Josh is taking off work and we're going to hang out as a fam and then we're going to order sushi and we're going to watch Harry Potter together.
Oh, that's the best. That's
sweetheart, that's like your ideal day.
It really is. It really is. Like, he was like, what do you want to do? Like, when we take off work and we'll like order sushi and then watch Harry. And I was like, I would love that.
That is what I would love. Yes.
That is what I would love. Good man. Yeah. So it's going to be so great.
It makes me feel really excited that I got to celebrate your birthday tonight in person. It's so fun.
Me too. I know.
Oh, so fun. Special. To see you. Oh, we also have our friends' wine mugs.
Yes, we do. We have Christina got me this wonderful wine cup that says, you can probably hear the clink of the ice.
The ice that we put in our Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes. Because we're classy AF like that. It says, how you doing? So, got lots of fun. Lots of fun things here tonight. Christina has a lovely Witchling t-shirt on.
I have my Night Court.
You do? Oh my gosh. Can you see it? Let me see.
It's really cute. I love it.
I love that,
Anna. Your
Night Court
shirt. Perfect.
Perfect segue.
Pause.
Oh, yes. Okay, pause. So before we jump in, a quick spoiler alert.
Yes.
So from here on out, we will be discussing spoilers for Sarah J. Maas's A Court of Thorns and Roses series. So the series as a whole, consider yourself warned. We will almost certainly be discussing major plot points from the whole ACOTAR series starting now.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my god. This wasn't initially on our agenda.
No, it wasn't.
And then the news broke.
I was driving to Austin and I pull over into Bucky's and I have like 50 text messages, I shit you not, and they were, a lot of them were from friends who have never read the series but know how obsessed I am with it. And I was like, "What?" And I immediately thought it was a joke at first, and so I was like, "No, not real." Googled, it's the truth. And I freaked out. Like, I was about to see Christina and then I was like freaking out when I saw her.
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty much Anna was on her way to a bachelorette party that I was already there setting up the decorations for said bachelorette party. So I then looked at my phone. Someone, the bride actually had sent us the screenshot of Sarah J. Maas's Instagram, which did confirm that she is adapting ACOTAR to a TV show with Hulu.
Oh my gosh.
And
what a dream.
I was setting up, you know, I mean, it's a bachelorette party. I was literally like blowing up an inflatable penis and like setting up like let's party bitches sign in the backyard.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? Okay, what's Anna texting me? I'm going to see her in like 10 minutes. What? And then just stopped and was so excited. But yes. And I think another really fun aspect of this is that Sarah's sweet husband, Josh,
actually is
the one who broke the news absentmindedly.
Cute.
I don't know the details of that.
Okay, let me show you.
I feel like it's a classic, no offense to his Instagram. Our male listeners. There probably aren't that many, but I feel like it's a very male thing to do.
So he posted a picture on Instagram that's a picture of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and in the corner, and it says pretty much like, oh, you know, I've been running around with Taryn, their son, and so this is the extent of my cooking abilities or cooking at the moment, but like, you know, I'm not complaining, or something really sweet and lovely. And in the corner on the table is a notebook that says
in the corner
ACOTAR.
What's his Instagram?
That says it's the real Papa Maas. So in the corner on a notebook it says ACOTAR TV series,
ACOTAR TV adaptation notes 3/26/21, and then it says with Ron Moore.
Yeah, and he posted that before she posted.
That was the thing. It's like when after I got all those text messages, I went and clicked through very briefly, and I was like, as soon as I panicked because I was really excited, then I panicked because I was like, oh my god, like, who are they? I immediately started going through like, what are they going to do? Who are they going to cast? Because
as we all did.
But as soon as I saw Ron Moore, I actually calmed down a bit because I'm a big fan of his. And he has, I think, pretty successfully done Outlander. He's the showrunner. And
I think he's done a really good job with Outlander. Yeah. I also think Outlander is a female-driven fantasy show. Mm-hmm. I think he has. Also, the author of Outlander is...
Diana
is very, from what I've read, involved and has worked with Ron as the showrunner very closely. Mm-hmm. And just so we're clear... showrunner pretty much means he is like, he's in charge of everything creatively, pretty much, right? Like, he brings everyone together.
He's the common thread. So even if they hire different directors for various episodes, he will be like the common executive producer and creative thread through the entire process to keep everything, you know,
cohesive.
So that it all meshes.
Okay, so actually, she is actually co-adapting this with Ron,
which is
even better. And she is writing the pilot with Ron himself.
Yeah, ideal.
So it sounds like she's going to be incredibly involved, which makes me much more at ease about. Mm-hmm.
Our concerns.
I was really excited that she is going to be co-writing the pilot with him because she is a fantastic writer. We all know that. No one disagrees. But writing a screenplay is very, very different than writing a book. And I'm really happy that she has somebody like Ron Moore who already has a lot of experience adapting a book, a fantasy book, to television, and I think he will be a really good asset to her because he will help her learn the ropes and bridge the gap between world building in a, you know, book setting versus bringing it to life to the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that Ron has Ron, like, he's my friend,
Ron,
you know, Ronnie. Ron. That he does have the experience with Outlander specifically that is similar to this, but he also has done a bunch of other great stuff. He's done a lot for Star Trek. He's done a lot for Battlestar Galactica.
I'm a major Battlestar fan. It is incredible.
Like he's done really, really great, beautiful fantasy sci-fi television. Ugh, and Battlestar. So I feel, of course we have concerns, but I do feel better in general that one, he's involved, and that two, he is involving Sarah so much.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think it's in good hands.
Agreed. But that's a good segue into our thoughts and concerns.
Yes. I'm curious about the breakdown.
Yeah. Like, how are they going to... Are we going to do a whole book with Tamlin? Because...
Oh. Yeah, like...
I
think that's the major thing. If we're going to do... If
are we going to do a book a season? Are we going to do... Are we going to pull... Are we going to pull different aspects from the first book and just, like, make that... a quicker segue into book two?
Precisely. I think that they have to either do, if the book one is a season, it has to be a little shorter. Like, we cannot do, 10 episodes of her loving Tamlin. I just can't do it. But I do think that the trials and the worm, how are they going to do the worm?
Oh,
but,
like, that's already, I'm already terrified.
Like, but I do think, like, you know, the Canamari party.
The Calamari.
Calamari party.
That party. I like all of that stuff could be whole episodes and that's going to be beautiful. But I think that knowing where the story goes, they have got to speed up the Tamlin love, but they also have to have
it. You have to because it's such a huge part of her growth.
I know.
As a character.
It's so important, but also I cannot do like 12 episodes.
We can do it, but we also did it. Like, we also read, you know what I mean? Right. And for the people who haven't read the books, because there's going to be a whole slew of people, like me, I never read Game of Thrones, but I watched all of it. And there's going to be a lot of people, I think, who this probably brings viewers into. But I don't want to watch 20 episodes.
Well, I also think, though.
I don't think they will.
How are they going to keep the spoiler free? Because the fandom of ACOTAR is vocal, if you can say one thing about them.
Yes.
They are not keeping their opinions to themselves.
Passionate.
We are part of that. So I think it's going to be difficult to keep it spoiler-free, because I think it's going to be very difficult when people are watching it and they're like, oh my goodness, look at this. I'm going to Google it. And everyone who's read the books is like, God, get rid of Tamlin. I can't wait till we see Reese, because Reese is coming.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Reese to come.
Thinking about that, and I was, I think a way that could be an interesting way to tell a story would be, we spend so much time with Tamlin and Feyre in the Spring Court. Now, this would be adapting the book and changing it a little bit, but that, again, it's made for television, so they're going to have to be some changes.
I think there's going to probably be a lot.
And I think, yeah, and I think an interesting way would be if we introduced Reese earlier.
That's what I was going to say.
And we saw some of him under the mountain.
Yeah.
And we saw him, you know, he's supposed to be the bad guy, yet you're not supposed to know yet his true character, but... If there's ways that you could start to introduce him and you see you see him doing things that you're like, whoa, that's questionable. But then you see other sides to him and it's like a through thread through the entire first season. And then she goes under the mountain and you start to see their connection and that build.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
I will say, I think that is the perfect idea. I do, though, I think we have to see our first time seeing him has to be at that Calamari party.
Calamari. Like, Calamari. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Calamari. But I think that the, whatever it is, the one where they have sex in the bathroom.
It has to be, it has to because he says the line, he says his first line to her.
There you are.
I've been looking for you.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, he says
that, like, has to be in there.
He says, like, there you are. I've been looking for you. Thanks for finding her for me.
I do think that they will successfully be able to condense Tamlin and Feyva's relationship a lot quicker than the first. I think they could probably do 2 to 3 episodes.
But she has to go back and forth.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I think there could be an entire first episode where you see Feyre with her family and you don't, she doesn't kill the wolf until the end of the, or like, you know what I mean? Because they're going to set up her, her.
No, I think they're going to, I think they're going to skip a lot of the Beauty and the Beast situation. I don't think they're going to make that a thing.
I also, I see the opening being her killing the wolf.
Yeah.
Like, we see nothing at home.
Oh, that'd be an interesting way to do it, actually.
Like,
and then I think it'd be interesting to do, like, a, as she's with Tamlin, to do, like, flashbacks to her life in the cabin. And that's
that
also,
guy,
like,
she has sex with in the bar.
Yes.
Like, it's like, what?
And, like, the emotional journey of her being there with Tamlin somewhere safe, and then it keeps flashing back to their life. Or she's, like, they're, like, taking walks in the beautiful garden, and she's telling him about her life.
And so it's
flashing back to, like, how terrible the sisters are and how shitty
they
the cabin
so
is.
Terrible in that first book. I do think, hopefully, that Sarah knows her readers are not going to want to watch a whole season of her falling in love with Tamlin.
That's why.
And I think they are going to tease the Reese thing way more, way earlier.
I think they're going to do what Anna said and bring Reese in way quicker.
I think Calamari Party is going to be like episode 3.
I think it's going to be like episode 2.
Yeah.
I think they're going to shorten.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to condense it. And I think it's going to be very to the point. Get Reese in there. Because, like, literally on her post, her hashtag is literally hashtag Reese.
Yes. All caps.
Like, all caps. Like, she knows that's what the people want. She's not going to
give the people what they want.
Let's string out Tamlin for 8 episodes. No, Sarah. Nobody wants that. Like, no. We don't want that. I think she's going to be like, let's speed this up. Let's get Reese in there. Let's have some sexy, smoldering moments. Let's see him under the mountain, like Anna said. Let's see, like, the glancing.
The glances.
Maybe some moments between them.
And we do need the scene, and maybe also
the scene where he comes in while eating.
I love
and
that.
And he tries to hide. He tries
and
to hide.
He's like,
he sees the plate of food.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A flute. Mm. Under the mountain. I think under the mountain, we're going to get a lot more Reese time.
I can't
wait
to see their depiction of under
the
mountain.
I know. I have such, like, images of it in my head. And I'm so interested to see what they do. Because, like,
I think, too, it's easy for us right now to focus on the first book, and I think it is safer emotionally for us to focus on the first book because, of course, we want to get to Mist and Fury. We want to get to Chapter 55. We want to get to Aqua War.
But scene.
I don't want it to emotionally...
Chapter 55!
You know, but I also don't want to emotionally get there because what if they don't get a second season? Like, you know, like,
we will.
We have to,
I hear
also,
you.
Also, though, the budget for the first season might be different than the second season.
Yeah.
It'll all be based on viewership and reviews, too.
Which, that, too. If it's based on viewership, I think the ACOTAR fan base can make this happen.
Just by sheer will.
We will.
I will refresh this page.
Oh, we
I
will
don't
all
know if
watch.
That's how it works, but, like,
we will all watch
multiple,
the episodes over and over again.
Like, computers
multiple
open
accounts. Multiple accounts.
Just to get to see Chapter 55 happen.
Oh, my God. That's all I've ever wanted in my life.
Okay. So budget. Okay. That's speaking about budget.
Yes.
I hope. Mm-hmm. I think because it's Hulu with Ron Moore, it's going to have like an Outlander type budget. So that'll really help with
I hope so.
Because there's going to be tons of graphics and CGI that's needed.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of CGI.
Oh, see, and I...
Especially for...
like, under the mountain, like the worm, and all the creatures.
Yes.
All the different, you know...
Yeah, well, all the different fae, all the different...
No, but like the adder, the surreal...
Oh, that's right.
Like, there's all those different things that are going to, you know... And there's magic, and... Yeah.
Totally. I really do hope they keep that scene in the first book with that one fae with the wings. He's like, she took my wings.
That was so sad.
He's crying.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a terrible scene, but it really depicts this how terrible Amarantha is before we meet Amarantha.
I agree.
Like, you're like kind of picking up on it.
See, but I think what they're going to do is take out little scenes like that and they're going to go to Reese under the mountain and have him and her interacting to show how evil she is.
If
and
we
they're
get...
going to have her like seducing
I actually,
him.
Like,
or,
like,
m-
I for many reasons.
No, I'm happy about
doing this because A, I think it introduces Reese, and B, I've always been interested in like the shit that actually went down under the mountain. And you could
Same,
showcase
100%.
Oh, it breaks my heart, but you could showcase some of the horrors that Reese had to endure and like
Agreed.
I do think that they might save that. I just
oh,
think
you might not want to get
plot-wise, like
you're
it'd
right.
just be so such a good reveal of like oh, who's this interesting guy? Oh, he's an asshole. Oh, we like him. Like, I think we want
right.
to do that first. But once we get under the mountain, maybe it's like we get a scene of like,
I would like a scene. I mean, no, I know that's, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, oh yeah,
no.
I want to see Reese being like, you know, sexually abused or whatever. But I don't need it to get graphic. But just like, we don't ever really see that in the books themselves.
Well,
and I think
also,
it would be interesting to for them, to for the viewers to see
I think
that.
It helps speed up our timeline of liking Reese.
Yeah, agreed.
It helps speed up our timeline of feeling like, oh, this is a good person whose bad things are happening to, instead of,
this is a,
he's evil, do I like him or not?
I mean, if
yeah.
they're going to still
agreed.
End it the first season the way they end the first book, which would make sense, we still need to have some questions about Reese at the end of the first book. So, like,
I think they're going to, if they end it how they ended book one, but they're going to make it more obvious so
yep.
that not just super sleuths like Anna got it, but like everybody gets it. Like, I think they're going to be like, he's going to whisper the word like mates or something and then it's going to like cut.
Or even just seeing his face be a little more freaked out. Like a little
yeah.
more like, because I pictured it like, I don't know, something about it didn't, it was jarring, but it also, I don't know, I thought it was the
bond.
It
wasn't really that
jarring. I thought it was the deal.
Yeah.
The bargain
bond. Yeah, the bargain. Like, I think something about actually visualizing it and seeing it happen, if he's like really freaked out, which
I
he
think
should
they need
be,
to do like a,
that would be a great
like a,
ending to
like
be
a
hook, you know?
Like the visual, I think it needs to be something like a, almost like an invisible line, like zapping between them
or something. From, like from his point of view too. Like if there's a way that you
right,
can.
Right, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like he, it's his eyes
Ooh,
and he's seeing like
that.
Almost like something
yeah.
connecting him to her.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Or like, yeah, for the first time, we kind of get his from behind him.
Yeah.
Like,
for the first time at the end
of the
series. Maybe
that's the first time
oh,
we see
that
it.
That would be good.
You know, like we're like
Ron,
for the first time.
Sarah, we are available. Like, I mean, call us. Honestly,
we are
have
here.
Fantastic
we are here.
Ideas.
Morning, noon, and
like,
night.
This is, you can just take, we don't have to pay us. Like,
we
just want to see this come to life.
We would happily just give you all of this for free.
We would maybe take a producer credit if
oh,
you wanted
you know,
to give
honestly,
that to us.
You don't even have to give us that.
Just
let
us hang out backstage.
On set, or with Sarah. If we could just have a lunch with Sarah, we're set.
But imagine going on set and seeing them.
Could you guys imagine?
I would die.
I would truly die.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about setting for a second, because most of this is going to be in the spring court. And I think Under the Mountain is going to be like studio CGI stuff.
100%.
But I've always pictured spring court as like French countryside, English manor.
lush, yes, 100%, like lush flowers everywhere, ivy crawling all over this like manor home, gorgeous like fountains.
Like a big, you know, like those old, like those reflection pools and lots of, you know, hedges.
tons of hedges. It's like very idyllic.
Yes.
Very like a dream, almost like a dream, because to Pharaoh, like after the human world and the conditions that she's lived in, it's basically like paradise to her. Like, I just can't. I'm so excited to see the Suriel. I hope they have Pharaoh like so trapped.
I was rereading a scene with where she, when she first sees a Suriel and she describes him, and I was like, I guess I just didn't remember him being described as he was, and it's gruesome.
Is it really?
Yeah, well, he seems very, I don't know, like decaying or something weird.
You know what I imagine? I imagine like a Dementor.
Interesting. Do you know what I picture? Have you ever seen, what's that M. Night Shyamalan movie with, like, they're like this old timey town, and they, like, the older generation has that creature that they keep that comes out at night. I think it's called The Village.
Ooh.
It's really creepy.
I'm just so excited and interested to see how they are going to create all of these characters and just bring them to life, like the Weaver.
Ooh, the Weaver.
And her house.
Mm-hmm. With her hair. With all
the thing. And the hair.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so gross.
The Bone Carver.
Yes.
Which is really going to be fun, because the Bone Carver is whoever, you know, looks different based on whoever is speaking.
How are they going to do that?
Yeah, because they're going to have to make it who you're looking. They're going to have to make it clear who is looking at them, which makes me think that they're going to have to make those trips to the Bone Carver one person at a time.
I mean, I think you could do it like, Ferris talking, and then you could also have Reese there with her, and all you see is her talking to this little boy, and then when you leave, he says, "Who do you see?" And she's confused. Like, what do you mean? Who did I see? I saw a little boy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he sees Jurian? Who does he see?
He sees Jurian.
Jurian. And he's just like, I saw Jurian, you know, before the big battle or whatever. And she's like, oh. And then, like, the next time they go, it's two people, and you're like wondering who the other person is.
Oh, that's
seeing.
A great point. It could be something like that.
That is a great point.
But okay, let's jump into some of our dream casting.
Yes, our dream casting.
And to be very clear, I think.
Yeah.
There is just a lot going on online right now about dream casting of the show, specifically about the dream casting of Feyre, that we just want to be clear that we do not condone and that we are not a part of.
Let's touch upon Danielle Rose Russell.
Sure, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That was horrific.
Yes, that was terrible.
How people reacted to her simply liking a post.
Yeah.
And for those of you who maybe aren't aware, Danielle Rose Russell is an actress, and I guess she's a fan of Sarah J. Maas and reads the books. And when Sarah posted that she was writing or creating a TV series, she liked Sarah's post, and people, crazy fans of Sarah, decided that her liking the post meant that she was maybe going to be cast as Feyre or something, and they went berserk and started saying the most disgusting and hateful things, body shaming her, saying she's, you know, overweight and couldn't play Feyre because of the way she looks. And it got to the point where it was so ugly that she deleted her social media accounts. And that is disgusting.
It was horrible. I mean,
not to mention, this girl, I think, would be a perfect
Feyre. She's gorgeous.
So this actress is currently in Legacies, which is the Vampire Diaries spinoff after the originals. So we've got Vampire Diaries, then the originals. This is Legacies. So these are the kids of the originals. This is like flash forward from Vampire Diaries, pretty much. And she plays Hope, and she's great. I haven't watched that much of the show, but I think she's a great actress. I think she looks like Feyre. She is like a girl next door. You know, there is a factor about her that is like relatable, and she's gorgeous and she's a great actress. And I think she would be great. It is really upsetting to me that the fandom made this gross body shaming thing out of.
You don't have to like the, here's the thing. She liked a post. Okay. So you jumping on a like this hate wagon because she liked Sarah's post is, first of all, absurd.
No, it's just, it's upsetting. This, well, happened, this actually happened when Jennifer Lawrence got cast as Katniss.
Oh, it did?
Because people were very upset that she was cast as Katniss because they said that, which is the same not okay comments that were made about Danielle, but people said that because at the beginning of Hunger Games, as at the beginning of ACOTAR, she's supposed to be malnourished and starving. And so people had this issue with Jennifer Lawrence when she was cast as Katniss as well, for the same reasons, which makes no sense. First of all, we shouldn't, we should not expect actresses to be malnourished and starve 100%. Themselves to be in a role.
And also, I think something people need to realize is, like, let's talk about just using Jennifer Lawrence as an example from playing Katniss. In my mind, when I read those books years ago, Jennifer Lawrence isn't who I initially would have pictured in my head, okay, when I read the books. But I would much rather them cast an actress who can act and has the chops to pull off a character like Feyre than someone who looks exactly how I would picture
Feyre. That's such a good point, yes.
I really don't care what they look like as long as you can pull off the character and you can do have the emotional bandwidth to play someone like Feyre. That's what 100%. Matters to
well,
me.
Well, like, really, I mean, this is a good example, I think, is, like, Simon from Bridgerton. Like, is it Regé-Jean is not who I pictured when I read the first book. You watch that show, and you tell me that he is not the Duke. Like,
Your grace.
We burn for him.
We burn for him. Like, I'll get to my distraughtness later over this, him in particular. But like you said, like, is he what I pictured? I mean, no, he's actually better. Like, he's 100%. Actually 10 million times better because he took, like, he is the Duke. Mm. Like, he took that role, made it so his, it's just so good. So, like, I agree. I mean, because as the show goes on, we will start to think of this actress as Feyre.
100%.
Like, it'll just, like Daniel Radcliffe. When you think of Harry Potter, do you not think of Daniel Radcliffe? Like, right. That is Harry Potter in my mind. Like,
and Harry Potter was such a pivotal part of your mind for so, like, 100%. Before the movies for so many years.
It,
like,
lives rent-free in my head daily.
I'm just saying, like, that is, like, a big statement from Kim.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I think that it is of course, a tough line to draw because, of course, one of the biggest concerns we all have are, like, these characters mean so much to us, and we picture them so specifically in our heads that, of course, any actor, it's a tough
They're role. They're big shoes to fill. Big shoes
exactly.
to fill.
Exactly. Any actor is probably not going to fill everyone's...
Somebody's always going to be unhappy.
Exactly. And so this also is probably coming from... I mean, me and Anna were theater majors in college. Granted, we don't act anymore, but I think we are very sensitive to making an actor feel bad about themselves when it is already such a harsh industry where you feel bad about yourself that, like, this person was cast by these people to do this role and is doing their best job. If someone gets cast in this and people have negative feelings about it, then they should take it up with Ron and Sarah, because Ron and Sarah have chosen
that's what it comes down to. If Sarah really has as much say as we think she's going to say because she's working so closely with Ron, then who's to say that this isn't who she pictured and it's her baby?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, I feel that we have to trust her.
Yeah. I trust Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't think she would, she's going to steer us wrong. She has never steered us wrong before. And when I've doubted Sarah, I've always come back and been like, Kim, you fool. Like, you complete idiot. How could you ever doubt her for a moment? Like,
in SJM, we trust.
Truly. So with that being said, let's get into some of our dream casting.
Yes. Our dream casting that you know,
when Ron and Sarah call us, we will be ready with these recommendations. It's basically what we're saying to you.
We are here for it.
Yes. We are here for it.
Okay, let's talk about Feyre.
Yes. So I really do think Danielle would be great, first of all.
Yeah, I do. I think Danielle would be great. Another one, actually, going back to Star Wars, I actually think Daisy... Ridley.
Yes, who Daisy plays, Ridley.
Yeah. She's in Star Wars. She's in, like, the newest
one. She's Rey, yeah.
Rey, exactly. She's Rey. So she has the fighting chops.
Ooh, I can totally see that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. See, and that's hard for me because I don't see her as vulnerable enough. Like, I need her to be, like, a little more vulnerable.
But she's also plays Ophelia. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the movie is, like, okay. but she plays Ophelia from Hamlet.
Okay, and I should watch that.
It's a totally different look. She's got the long hair. It's like Renaissance. It looks more Feyre-y. I think her look is very Feyre.
I think Lily James is a... I love her so much. I think she would be a fantastic Feyre. I mean, I'm just...
She may be my favorite casting.
Yeah, I actually, so I put her down, and I really like her, but I talked myself into Daisy Ridley a lot. But I think Lily, my only concern with her is, I guess I've only ever seen her do kind of the very feminine roles. I haven't ever seen her, like, I'm sure she could learn and beef up and learn how to fight. Mm-hmm. But I guess that would be, like, my only concern.
So, I don't know if you've seen a little film called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. But
you know I haven't.
She was in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And she played...
Elizabeth Bennett?
So she played Elizabeth Bennett. And in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, she had... Okay, now guys, I know this is not like a award-winning film, but it was really fun and I liked it.
What's the plot of this?
It's Pride and Prejudice with zombies. With
zombies? They're zombies or they're fighting zombies?
There's zombies around generally and they're fighting them. Uh-huh. And it's awesome. And all the Bennett sisters have like knives and stuff up their dresses and they're just like badass like fighters.
I need to fight watch the zombies. This.
Okay.
It kind of breaks the fourth wall and like it makes fun of itself while you're watching it a little bit. But she does fight in that movie and I think she does a great job at it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also
recently
watched her in a Netflix movie called Guernsey.
Oh, love it. The Potato Peel Society.
Yes,
it's so cute.
I liked her. I also like Willa
Holland.
Willa Holland. She's just an interesting look.
I can totally see this.
I like her a lot. She was what's her name's little sister in the OC.
Wasn't she also in Gossip Girl?
Yeah, she was.
Oh.
Yeah, she was. I was like, this girl looks really familiar.
But I recently watched her in Arrow. She's his little sister in Arrow.
I haven't seen that.
And
She literally looks like a little fighter.
She fights. Like, she's fierce. She's like a fighter. But she starts as like very vulnerable, not fighter. And she grows into a fighter.
Ooh. I'm into that.
It's very interesting.
I'm into that. Cool. I'm into that.
So let's move on to Reese.
To our baby.
Oh, this is the hardest casting.
This is really hard.
This is really hard.
I kind of want to get like Feyre and Reese out of the way because it's so difficult.
It's emotional, you know? It's emotional.
So speaking of Bridgerton.
It is, yes.
I honestly, the moment, I think it's like episode 5 of Bridgerton when it's the I Burn For You.
Yes.
I was like, I think I texted both of you and I was like, I think this might be the only man in existence who I could see playing Rhysand right now.
You did text us. You did.
And honestly, I think he'd be a perfect Rhysand.
I think he'd have to maybe put on a little more muscle.
Which that's...
doable.
Yeah.
Doable.
Couple months in the gym, you're fine.
God, but...
But like, the smoldering stares.
Oh, yes.
The pure raw
the
sex.
The height. He's tall.
He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's sexy.
Also, think
he's
about...
He's brooding.
Oh, the brood.
That silver spoon.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And do we know?
No. Okay, but also the... Just the... I feel like I could picture him being the, like... This is what I'm showing everyone.
Ooh, yes.
And this is my other side. And
because he does that with Simon. He's kind of a jerk sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But I can see him get vulnerable and I can see him get real. I'm thinking of a very specific scene where he's at the boxing match.
Tell me.
He's at the boxing match.
Yes.
And he's rolling his sleeves up and he's like, come on. And he's like really getting into it. And I'm like, I was feeling some things in that scene.
I remember that scene so well. I was texting you guys
a little bit into it, and he got like
at the ring, and he was like,
mm-hmm. "Yes, yes."
But
yes.
The rolling up his sleeves in particular,
and Daphne's like pant, and I'm like, "Single, done."
Okay, this is not getting, Bridgerton.
Okay,
we have to
I'm
move
getting
on.
A little. I mean, truly though.
Okay, but no,
I don't know how we top that one. But
I think he's perfect.
We have a few more names right
now. Yes. Okay. So Henry Cavill, I feel like, is just like mentally how with the like. Very tall, dark, and handsome, how I pictured Reese. Like, Henry Cavill and Ian
Somerhalder
are very similar to me
very
in that.
Very piercing, yes.
Now, that being said, this is also our, like, hypothetical silly dream cast. I don't think Ian Somerhalder is like looking to do another fantasy series. No. I feel like he's just like married to his gorgeous wife and doing charity. Also, Henry Cavill is a little Cavill's too old.
Also, yeah, he's they're a both, little bit older. They're both a and then he's too. Also got The Witcher right. on Netflix, which he right. might be like, this is my fantasy. I don't want to do another
like,
fantasy.
I got this. Also, like,
I kind of would like to see them do maybe like a unknown or like a, maybe pick an indie actor or something.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean? I think going with an unknown, like, I mean, kind of, I mean, Regé Jean wasn't a huge name.
Exactly, exactly.
And I kind of dug that absolutely. They cast
him. I did too. I was
and
into that.
And I think,
that.
Honestly, with Farrah and Reese, it might be a strong way to go.
I agree. I think if you choose a household name, that's a big...
it's difficult.
That's difficult.
I also think it comes with a lot of baggage, and I think the fandom then watching everything they've done and be like, oh, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't Superman. This isn't The Witcher. This isn't, you know, like...
Whereas if you go with someone that's kind of unknown, not unknown, but like hasn't done a lot of big stuff, they can kind of come into it with a different...
Well, then it becomes, oh, this is recent.
Right.
Like, this is who he is.
Yes.
Instead of, oh, he's been these other things.
Right.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, right, so future recent, to... like, we're here for you.
Yeah, yes, we're here for you. For we you. Love you. We're about you.
Yeah. Okay, Tamlin is tricky.
Tamlin is tricky, but I think Kellan Lutz from Twilight is the perfect Tamlin.
I thought he was great,
too. He's that perfect jock.
He's a jock, like, bro, but, like, he's attractive. Like, I think he's hot.
He's attractive.
Like,
Tamlin has to be attractive. He has to be hot. He also, he has a mask on his face for a lot of the first season. So we need him to be attractive enough where a mask is like, he's still hot with the mask on.
Like, I think Kellan Lutz would be great because also Tamlin has that beast form where he's like, turns into like a wolf beast.
Oh, yeah.
And Kellan Lutz just has that kind of like look.
Yes, agreed. You know? Yeah, 100%.
God,
yeah.
Guys, how are they going to do that?
I don't know if they will. Honestly, I don't. I really would not be surprised if they.
I mean, to be honest,
I think they will. I think they have to. It's.
But it wasn't well done in Beauty and the Beast. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I thought it was fine.
Did you see the behind the scenes of her dancing with him in his CGI costume? Don't ever look at it.
Don't watch it.
It's traumatizing. Okay, what about Moore?
Okay, so I have a couple.
Oh, me too. Okay.
So my initial instinct, and actually a lot of people said this could be Nesta and Gabriella Wild.
Mm.
And she's gorgeous. She's blonde, which...
What is she from?
More. So here's where I know her from. I know her from Poldark. So if any of you watch Masterpiece Theater, she has this sass and kind of like command. She has a very commanding presence and she's got a lot of sass. And I just feel like it struck me as kind of how Moore. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
I can 100% see her as Moore.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also really like Natalie Dormer for her.
I like Natalie Dormer too. I always thought of her more as Amarantha.
Yes, I think she would be a really good Amarantha.
Just to be clear, Amarantha has
red hair.
Is red hair. Red hair.
Which she could have. But, we could tie her hair.
Well, because she kind of has reddish hair in The Tudors, Natalie Dormer.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the picture. You're right.
And also for more, maybe, because I agree. I do think Natalie Dormer is a little more like, got like an evil tinge to her a little bit.
I see what you're saying.
But I do think for more, maybe Claire Holt, who was in Vampire Diaries.
Ooh, Claire.
Maybe she's in the originals.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Okay, so more, we have some options.
We have some good options.
Okay,
so let's talk about Amarantha.
Oh, so I do think Natalie Dormer would be good.
I think Natalie Dormer could be perfect. I mean, we've seen her in The Tudors play Anne Boleyn, and she's beautiful and captivating in that role. And then you see her play Marjorie Tyrell in Game of Thrones, and she just... is sneaky a little bit and manipulative a little bit.
Sneaky snake.
And sexy. And
that's what we need from her.
I think that's what you need from Amarantha.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
I think Christina Hendricks would be a really good Amarantha.
Ooh.
Because she's very...
Oh, interesting.
Because she has red... I mean, she has red hair. She's has that timeless look about her that I think of Amarantha as, mm-hmm. like, a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And also, like, mm-hmm. she's very sexy to me.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
I think she's... I loved her in Mad Men. And she's also...
She could definitely command a room.
Mm-hmm. I think she could command a room. I think she has this... Because there's something about Amarantha that is, like, appealing to people in a way, obviously.
At the beginning, well, before she's manipulating everyone so much, she's, like... she's always manipulating everyone, but at the... Before she does her evil thing and mm-hmm, keeps them all there, mm-hmm. there's a reason they all come to her party. Like, she's, like, right. pulling them all to the party,
right,
you know?
Right.
Okay,
so Asriel...
Oh, this is so hard.
Okay, Asriel and Cassian are just as hard as Reese for me.
To me.
Like, I...
Same.
So, also, we should talk about this because me and Kim have very different visuals of Az and Cass than Anna does.
Anna, yes.
So, okay. Who do you think about for Az? And then we'll go to Cass.
So, here's the thing. First of all, I don't know if it's just, like, this is very much within my personality of, like, sometimes I read very, very quickly through descriptions because I want to get to, like, the dialogue. But I have read the book so many times that I feel like I didn't mess it up that much. But in my head, Asriel is like this big, strong, like meaty guy, and his shadows like soften him, and he's actually kind of like quiet, and like it juxtaposes, like his quiet demeanor juxtaposes his like large frame. And then Cassian is like the general of the army and kind of like light on his feet and has to be really quick. And so I've always pictured him being like tall and like very strong, but like leaner muscle, and as being more of like a bulkier male. And apparently Christina and Kim
completely disagree with that. We feel like Cass is like this bulk. We picture him as like a Jason Momoa type, like,
which is like
bulky. And
yeah, not at all how I
muscular, because he's like the general of the army. Like, he's like this big kind of guy, and Asriel is like the spy. He's the shadow singer, and he has to like creep around and go spy on people.
Yeah, we picture Az.
We both have completely opposite views, so
it's not like It's not like I don't think Az is muscular and like.
Oh no, I think
like
he's a warrior. Yeah,
I just don't. I picture him more as like. I don't know, this, like, muscular...
Leaner muscle.
And, like, his shadows, and he's, like, you know, sexy shadows. And then I picture Cass as, like, Jason Momoa. Like,
yeah, 100%.
See, Jason, I am beefy.
I can see Cassian being beefier, but for some reason, Jason Momoa, I think it's the long hair, and it just...
But Cass has long hair.
I know, and I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
It's like, I didn't like when Rowan had long hair either.
And his hair was white.
I was so happy when he cut it.
So I have to be honest, I really don't like the long hair that much either, but it's what she's chosen.
I understand.
Okay, so for Asriel.
Okay, so for Az, there are some fun... Okay.
There are some really good broody, sexy, dark and handsome men.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So the first one is Matthew. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Daddario?
Mm-hmm. Matthew Daddario.
From Shadowhunters. He plays Alec.
Yeah. Oh, he is really good as Alec too. And he's the perfect, like, I feel like he's really the perfect, like, tall, dark, and handsome booty guy. Some of his acting as Alec kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
But I think he could do Azrael well.
Yeah. Mm. See, here's where Sebastian Stan comes in, who plays the Winter Soldier in Marvel.
I think he's a little too old.
See, that, I know. I think he's a little bit old too, but he's got that brooding soldier look thing already down. See, like, I'm watching him right now in the Falcon Winter Soldier.
He's really good in that. We just started, so that's really good. I picture as a little younger.
Yeah, I think Matthew Daddario is too young.
I agree. I do agree.
Sebastian Stan is too old, and you need someone who's like 30.
Right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And do we have anybody?
Well, hopefully.
If you're going off of the reason I didn't put this person under Azrael when we made our outline, but I have Aiden Turner, who's also in Poldark.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. And he is. Oh,
yes.
Like,
yes.
He is super sexy. And I think he could actually be a really good Azrael.
Oh, he's perfect.
Look at him. Look at this.
Yeah.
This is exactly how I picture him.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
See, that's how I picture Cassian.
Oh, interesting. Oh, no. This is ass for sure.
Look at him.
This is ass.
Is he walking through the wheat fields shirtless?
He's walking through a lot of things shirtless.
He's walking through, yes.
The beach, the wheat fields.
And he definitely is more, like, he has a very broody, like, his character.
Look at him.
Azrael.
Oh my God, this is Azrael.
This is exactly how I picture Azrael.
Okay, well, there we go.
Anna, this is it.
Well, thank you for this gift. Yeah, this is him now in my head. Okay, so.
What a gift for all of us, really.
Okay, so now let's move to Cass.
Okay, let's move.
In me and Kim's mind, is Jason Momoa.
And I just
Is Jason Momoa, or.
I'm open to other options.
So I love Jesse Williams because Cassian is described as being dark, like dark hair and like dark skin or fair or tan
skin.
So
is Jason Momoa.
So, yes, and Jason Momoa also has the tan skin and dark hair. And I really like Jesse. But again, I picture Cassian very differently than you two. So I always kind of thought as somebody like Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy, who plays Avery.
Yeah.
Jackson Avery.
I had him on my list as Tarquin.
Oh yeah. I like that.
Oh, you know who I have? I have for Tarquin? I have a really good Tarquin. Hold on.
Okay, wait. But you go back to...
Sorry, Anna,
okay.
Go. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just... For me, Cassian, whoever plays Cassian, has to be funny. Or they have to have comedic timing. They don't have to be outwardly funny, like ha-ha funny. But they need to be that kind of like plays pranks, jokes around. Because he really does have to break up kind of the tension, especially between Moore and Az. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So whoever plays Cassian has to have that kind of like joyful quality to him, but also be able to be very serious.
I do want to say, I don't know where it is. We will try to find it and post it on our stories. But there is a meme somewhere where Henry Cavill is on the red carpet and Jason Momoa is running up behind him to prank him and like scare
him.
Be like, ha-ha! And like,
yeah,
like,
I've seen that. Like, it's scare so funny. Him.
And it says like, if this is not recent cast, I don't know what it is.
It's
and
perfect.
It's so good. Okay. I do think though that there are other castings. I just can't think of other actors out there.
Okay. What about Amarin?
Oh. Okay. I seriously, like, I just put one person down, Zoe Saldana.
Oh, interesting.
I think Zoe Saldana would be good.
I really like, who were we talking about? Jamie Chung,
I think would be good.
So good.
Yeah, I agree.
I always pictured her as someone who was classically pretty, but also maybe a little older.
I think older. Tiny ancient one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She needs to be ancient, and there has to be something very wise about her.
That's what I'm looking for, wise. Yeah. She has to be, like,
wise eyes, wise demeanor. There needs to be something about her that even though she looks pretty and she's tiny, she is Reese's second for a reason.
Absolutely. And he trusts her.
So you can't cast anyone too young for that. No, I don't think.
Okay, so let's talk about Lucian. So Lucian's tricky because...
Yeah, he has to have that reddish hair.
Well, and I want him to be attractive, but like he can't be that attractive.
Why?
He can't be more attractive than Tamlin and Reese.
Exactly. He can't be more attractive than Tamlin Reese. I think I want him to be like, oh, he's sweet. Like, he's a sweet,
cute... Some people have said Garrett Hedlund.
Who's that?
bottom left.
Oh, see, he's hot. Wait, he's like, oh, I feel like that's true. A little hot.
I don't mind. I don't mind Lucian being a, like, hot.
So I do think Lucian can be attractive, but we also think about Lucian has a mask and a fake eyeball that like spins around.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So yeah. Like, you know,
I think they're gonna go with an unknown for him. I think
a lot of it's gonna be unknown.
I think they are gonna.
This
go
is
with,
just like our fun.
Well, sure. Right.
Really like, theoretical.
Totally theoretical. I also,
unless they want to bring us in for consulting, and then we will obviously give them our serious opinions, which we have a list ready to go.
Know, I also, the fact that this is becoming a show, yes,
is so exciting.
Is a lot of concerns, but God, it's so exciting.
Yes,
exciting for the fandom. It's also going to be a lot of opinions, but I think that's part of it. And I also think there are so many people that I think would love these books that are now going to read them.
I know.
With this being a TV show.
I know.
And I think that's
and
really cool.
And how lucky are they to get happy. To read them for the first time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
that.
Honestly, the same way we did with Bridgerton. I mean, granted, we read Bridgerton before, but a lot of people now are reading Bridgerton.
Same. I mean, that's why I'm reading this the full series now is because of the show.
Totally.
That's a good segue.
Perfect, yes.
That's a perfect segue.
That brings us into our segment of... so we haven't actually done this segment yet. Yes.
Yeah, okay, let's introduce it.
You know, the three of us are texting just constantly about so many things. And there's a lot of things that we want to, one, share with each other, but also with you guys that aren't necessarily the exact topic we're talking about this week. And some of them are personally important to us, more important to us as a group. Mm-hmm.
This is our new little segment. So what's the 411 with Kim, Christina, and Anna?
Yay!
Yes. Okay. So Kim, you go first.
I will go first because, friends, I'm devastated. I really, you know, I need some thoughts and prayers during this difficult time because they just broke the news that Regé-Jean Page will not be returning for season 2 of Bridgerton. He will not be reprising his role as Simon, the Duke, Your Grace.
Burning for him.
And I, at first I thought it was an April Fool's joke. And it's not.
It did come out on April 1st, which was,
and
you know.
Poor timing.
I'm so upset. And, like, the entire world is also upset. Because, let's be real, he was a big reason why season 1 of Bridgerton was...
What it was.
Was what it was. I mean...
I just think they're moving on. Like, I don't... Because, I mean, I've read all of them except the last one. And he pops up. Yeah, he pops up. But, like, I just think they're trying to focus on... I don't know. Or maybe he didn't want to do it. I don't know.
I think it's a mistake no matter what.
I think it's a mistake.
I think...
Unless he's about to be cast as Reese.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I just see a lot of people being like, he's the only reason I watched Bridgerton. So, like, I'm not going to... Do I think they'll probably still tune in? Yes. And the showrunners know that, too.
Yeah.
They're like, you're going to watch it because you want to see what it would be like without him. But I think it's... I think they should have done everything they could to... No, I don't know.
No.
I have no idea what discussions were had, but...
Oh, absolutely.
If that's it were me, I would be, like, begging on my knees, like, please, for the love of God, come back to the show.
We need you. Yes. Okay.
Christina?
Anna.
Oh.
So.
Let's do it.
JK,
first.
Anna?
As usual, mine is, what am I reading? Because I'm always reading, like, two books. So, I finished rereading From Blood and Ash, the first two books, which we're going to be talking about next week. But when I finished those, I started reading A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair. And I love Greek mythology. I love, like, any retellings of any sort of, like, historical figures. And this is a Hades and Persephone retelling in, like, a urban setting. Yeah. And it's really good. It's good. I would say it's not great. It's very quick. It's very fast paced. There is lots of, like, you know, sexy brooding looks and some steamy.
Yes.
I enjoyed, like, the characters and stuff. The second one, the reviews aren't that great. So I'm kind of having a hard time, like, even starting it. I don't know. I can't say that I give it, like, a 5-star. It's, like, a 3 out of 5. Like, it's a good, quick, fast read if you have a book hangover and you just want something quick, or if you're, like, going on a vacation or something.
Yes.
Christina, talk to us about
your
411.
Okay, girl.
Dish.
My 411. I can't wait to dish. Okay. Dish. So, we're dishing about Jennifer L. Armentrout, our girl, has released the first 3 chapters of The Crown of Gilded Bones, which is the third book of From Blood and Ash.
So excited.
And God, is it good. It is. Okay, so, and this is, so this is my current 411 because I have been waiting to read it until we get closer to the new book release because I was just like, really, I knew it was going to make me really want the third one.
I know.
It picks up immediately after the second book. I was really worried we were going to have a gap there, and it was, there was no gap. It immediately picks up on the action. It is, it makes you so excited for the third book. And I don't want to give spoilers because our next episode is going to be about the first two books. And I think we will probably touch on the the first two chapters. So I don't want to give spoilers, but if you have not read those first three chapters, we will link to them on our, in our show notes, and on Jennifer L. Armentrout's Instagram, you can find a link. But
it's God, so good.
It also is the perfect segue into our episode next week because we're talking about the first two books, and then we are going to read the third one and talk about that. And
so excited. Yes,
between now and then, be sure to follow us on social media at Flights of Fantasy Podcast on Instagram. Subscribe to us wherever you are listening. And yes, we cannot wait to... I never know like how to segue that.
Just say,
and we're so, and we're, you I'm know, gonna say, and we can't wait to talk more about From Blood and Ash in our next episode.
I'm gonna say, be sure to follow us on Instagram, and you guys, someone do this. Last part.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And yes, and until then, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Subscribe to us wherever you're listening.
Yes.
And we will see you back here for our next episode. Until then. Cheers and happy reading, friends.
Until next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.